Welcome to Two Girls Who Read, a podcast. I'm Olivia.
And I'm Lily, and this is the podcast where we talk about anything and everything book related.
This week's topic is books with plot twists as shocking as Will Smith's slap at the Oscars. We're going to come up with a shorter title, but that is the general gist of it.
This idea came to us last night at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
No, 2 o'clock for you. It was like 10 p.m. for me.
Yeah, we were like thinking of podcast ideas for like literally like 2 hours. Well, not in a row, but like it was quite some time.
And we were saying, I feel like we're missing the important part here. We would have come up with a quicker, but we were giving Lily a chance to come up with something last night, because for the past like 5 weeks or so, the ideas have always been like my ideas. So I was like, you have a turn. And then literally an hour went by, and then it was like, okay, let's brainstorm together. I came in so confident. I was like, oh, I'm going to have to come save the day. But then we spent like another hour trying to come up with an idea, because
it kind of got to the point where it was like, Olivia was like, we just like, it's like all the pop culture stuff that's happening right now is like the Oscars, you know? And I was like, That's when I came up with the idea. Plot twist as shocking as Will Smith's slap at the Oscars.
Yeah, so this is Liz's idea and it was very good. Also, if I had a shot for every time you just said like in that sentence, I would be hammered right now.
I'm sorry.
We always say like, but I think that was a record for you. Even I noticed.
I'll try to stop.
No, it's fine. We accept that. We accept you for who you are. It's okay. Anyway. Oh, let's just get straight in. Oh, random question.
Yeah.
Wait, random fact. Do you want to know what I smell like right now?
What?
You seem so offended. You
think, just not what? What
I know, it's a random question. I smell like every old lady that I've ever met, because I did not realize this. But every old lady wears Chanel No. 5, I learnt today. Because I went into a designer store because I wanted to act rich and I didn't buy anything. I was just annoying. But I went in the perfume section and I realised I've never smelt Chanel No. 5, which is like arguably the most popular perfume. So I like put it on me and then I realised, I was like, oh my God, I smell like every single grandma. Every single grandma wears Chanel No. 5, I learnt today. Which makes a lot of sense, because Marilyn Monroe was like the girl of their time and she loved Chanel No. 5. Anyway.
Okay.
I just need you to know that if I'm distracted, it's because I smell like a grandma. We'll blame it on that.
Oh.
Anyway.
Do you want to go first?
Fine. Okay. The first one that I have, I think this is just an important one to get out of the way. The entire Cruel Prince trilogy by Holly Black. Like, that is a poster child for plot twists, I feel like. I mean, I remember reading the first book at like 2 a.m. and being shook. And then little Olivia know, she had another storm coming when she started The Wicked King.
Olivia was so mad when she finished The Wicked King. I remember that.
It surprises me that more people... you gave me so much crap for that, but every single other person that I've...
No, I'm not giving you crap for it. It was just so funny because, like, I never see her, like, angry that often. Well, I do, but, like, not really. But you were, like, pacing your room, I remember. You're like, I just can't believe that.
I don't remember this.
I but do. Anyways.
I had erased it from my brain. Yeah. But you always sound so surprised when I'm, like, angry about it. When every single person gets angry at the Wicked King ending that I know. If you don't, it's disturbing. It's an aggravating ending.
Definitely.
Did you get angry?
Yeah, I think I did. But, like, I think I was more just like, oh my God, can't believe that happened. On to the third, you know?
Yeah. See, I had a different reaction to that. Also, my little sister did too. When she read it, we had the same reaction. It was, we were so mad that it took us a while for us to like pick up the third one, because it was just, I didn't want to go back there.
But, I remember I read that during the summer, and so that was like summer reading mode, where I was just picking up like one book after the other after the other. So like I was just like, okay, on to the next, you know.
Was this the summer you read 20 books or something crazy?
Pardon?
Was this the summer that you read 20 books or something crazy in a month?
Oh, it was something like that, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. But yeah, The Cruel Prince, for those of you who don't know, since this is a book wreck, I guess we should give premises. The Cruel Prince follows the journey of Jude Duarte, who is a human who finds herself being transported to the fairy world and having to be raised in the fairy world after a fairy comes to Jude's home and murders her parents, because basically you learn in chapter one that Jude's older sister is actually her half-sister, and the older sister is half fae, and the person who came and murdered Jude's human parents, okay, her biological parents, and both of the sister's bio mom, was the guy that the bio mom had the older sister with. So I hope I did a good job at explaining that. It's complicated.
It's a very confusing story, but yeah.
It is confusing. I tried my best. You get it when you read it. But yeah, basically Jude's ends up having to kind of become a badass because she's living in this fairy world that's pretty much designed to kill humans. And dare I say, I think she does a pretty good job.
Yeah, I would agree.
She finesses, and we love that for her. And then there's also I feel like when I explain books like these, I feel like everyone knows it already. So I'm stating the obvious, but I'm assuming we all also know that Massive Enemies to Lovers, Jude and Carden. Yeah, we've talked about them before. Definitely. If you're new here. Yeah, definitely have. One of our favorite episode titles is We Need to Talk About Carden's Tale. So if you're looking for some Cruel Prince content, you can head over to that episode. But yeah, that's, now that we've got that out of the way, we can head into hopefully some less niche or generic, I guess, titles. So your turn. You're like, Agatha by Sarah J. Maas.
Okay, so I was gonna say like the second book in a series particularly, but like I guess I'll just do the whole series because like the whole series did have plot twists in it. But I was gonna talk about the second book in An Ember in the Ashes, The Quartet. Because I remember finishing the second book, and that I definitely thought that the second book was fairly mediocre compared to the first one while I was reading it. But then like the ending, like, okay, I only remember one, like the big plot twist at the end, but there was like other things as well. It's been a while since I've read this, but like literally I remember like the last like 100 pages like made it like just as good as the other ones and made it like a 5-star read. Which is, like, a bit insane, considering the fact that, like, I kind of thought it was fairly mediocre for the rest of it. Like, the first, you know, 3/4 of it.
I've heard that a lot about that series, where
the ending's always insane. Because everything just comes together, and then you're like, oh my god, obviously. Like, you just realize you're an idiot the whole time. But there was definitely something...
I like books like that.
Yeah. There was definitely something she did at the end of the second book, and I definitely was not expecting her to go there, but I was like, oh, no, we're doing this. Like, I didn't really believe it when it happened, because I was like, oh, you know, stuff like this doesn't happen in books. And then I was like, oh, no, this is happening. So yeah, and Ember in the Ashes, it's basically just like a 4-book series. I talked about it quite a bit in our last week's episode as well. But basically, I feel so like bad explaining it again. But I know like the listeners haven't necessarily heard it, but I know that you just like heard me explain it like a week ago, Olivia. But
I don't remember you talking about this.
About this one in our last recommendations video or podcast. Yeah.
I don't even remember what our last podcast episode was.
It was book recommendations. And I'm realizing now that a lot of my plot twist ones are like ones that I mentioned in last week's episode. But like,
That's right, our favorite books from every genre. Well, we're whores for plot twists, so we've been new. That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead, explain sense that.
Anyway, sorry. Basically, it's about this country that is ruled by this thing called the Empire, and anyone who's basically not a part of it is like shunned and like killed and like brutalized by the Empire. And Leia is not in the Empire, but her brother one day is taken by the Empire, and she is determined to go and get him back because he's basically the only family she has left, because it's a fantasy book and they never have any family. And except for their one like living relative that like ends up being like brutally tortured to like further the plot, you know. But yeah, for her that was her brother, and so she ran and she posed as allowed herself to be sold as a slave to the Empire so that she was able to like get in and spy on them and get information of where her brother was being held so she could find him. And there she meets Elias, who is a part of the Empire, who is basically hates the Empire and is trying to escape because he knows how like messed up it is. And so there's the premise.
And apparently Elias is hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elias is hot.
Very good. Alright. I'm gonna move on then to another book. If we're on the trend of talking about books that we recently talked about, I want to put The Atlas 6 by Olivier Blake in here. But here's kind of the interesting thing, because there's two different versions, and I don't really know if we can put the self-published version in here, because I guess that, I don't know, but The Atlas 6 recently re-released as a new version by Pam McMillan, and I read that one, and I really liked it, and it had a really big plot twist at the end. I kind of feel the same about how you're describing An Ember in the Ashes, where I found it at the Atlas 6 quite mediocre, or it didn't fully make sense until the end, and then when I read the last 100 pages I was obsessed. I was like, oh, now I'm an idiot, it makes sense now to me. But basically the Atlas 6 is a novel that follows the journey of six different magical, are they kids? I don't know, I don't think you call them kids, they're young adults. So magical mm-hmm. young adults who get inducted into this thing called the Alexandrian Society. And basically the Alexandrian Society is this magical society that has access to pretty much every piece of knowledge ever. Which is a really big deal because, you know, knowledge is power. We've been new. And if you are part of the Alexandrian Society, you can basically find a book or something. You have access to all the information you need to become successful, pretty much. I think it's a good way of putting it. So basically, these six people get inducted and they're like, okay, you're going to spend a year living together. And then at the end, only five of yous will be fully initiated into the society. So it kind of gives me Squid Game, Hunger Game vibes. Yeah. Because they have to eliminate somebody.
But it's like that, but on a much more like schemey level a little bit. Like I feel like the Hunger Games and stuff like that is just like brutal, like
yeah, okay,
it's a bloodbath, but yeah. This is like, it's like a subtle bloodbath, you know.
For sure. How I would put it is I think it works really well because Squid Game and Hunger Games is very physical, that's why they make such good shows and movies, but the Atlas 6 is very mental, and so it makes a really cool book because
it's all just a mind game.
It really is. Everything is a mind game. And it's a very dark academia vibes, and it's really cool. And the second book's coming out later in the year. And also, if you don't even like the book, just buy it for the hot art, the hot commissioned art in it, and just hang that on your wall.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Gorgeous.
My personal favorite is Ezra. That's just me. Anyway.
Okay.
Your turn.
I'm trying to think of which one I want to do next. I tried not to go like too cliche with some of these, but like it's kind of hard because like I don't know. I feel like next I need to mention like the book that like the whole thing was a plot twist, and that is Verity by Colleen Hoover. Like every freaking line of that book was just a plot twist in itself. Like
which book?
Verity.
Oh, you're about to say
Verity.
Verity. I did say
mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel
you
like
must have glitched out.
That book, it kind of needed to go in just because like the plot twist wasn't just at the end, like, and because this episode is like being slapped by Chris Rock at the Oscars, I literally felt like I was being slapped like every page I read of it.
Did you say slapped by Chris Rock?
Huh?
You said slapped by Chris Rock.
Oh, sorry. Slapped by Will Smith at the Oscars. I'm sorry.
I was like, that is a different story, girl.
I'm sorry. It's been a long day.
Exclusive.
But that's how I felt when I was reading that book, so I felt like it goes in here. Like, I don't know, like, obviously there was, like, a big plot twist at the end. Like, in the last, like, 10 pages, you got, like, another plot twist, even when you thought you were done. But then there's also a plot twist on page, like, 30 or something that just, like, completely takes you for a wild freaking ride. Like, so
I think Verity is, honestly, the poster child of the theme of this episode.
It definitely is. Like, I know a lot of people know about it, but like it had to come in here because like it's just that's where you're gonna get a good plot twist. Like, you're not gonna be disappointed by that plot twist. Like,
and for those who don't know, Verity is about,
yes,
I'll let you
okay I was gonna say, I was like, are you gonna keep
you
going?
You thought I was gonna do that? I was not gonna do that.
I was a bit confused because I was like, you just like started talking, I was like, oh, but she's going. Okay, no. Verity, it's a standalone psychological thriller. Look up the trigger warnings for this book. I am begging you. Like, I don't want to say them because some people personally don't like knowing them because sometimes the trigger warnings can spoil things, but I highly recommend that you should look it up. But basically, Verity is a book about an author named Loen, and she is a struggling author. She is not that successful. And basically,
relatable.
She ends up going to a meeting that her agent organized with this guy named Jeremy, who tells her that his wife, Verity Crawford, who is a best-selling author, she's in the middle of one of her most best-selling series ever, had a traumatic brain injury and can no longer finish writing her series, so they need a ghostwriter to come in and finish her work. And so she agrees to do it just because she doesn't have any money and she needs it. And she goes to their house in order to go
so
through...
Sorry.
Pardon?
Somebody's calling me. I think it might be a job. So is it okay if I answer it? Okay. Hello?
Hi,
sorry about that. Continue.
Okay, so she goes, Loen ends up going to Verity's house so she can look through a lot of her old books and just get to know her life a little bit and see how she wrote her books, because at this point she's never even read any of this girl's novels, so she's trying to get the scoop on things. And you know, this family's had so much tragedy, like, you know, this Verity girl, she is like laying upstairs, she's in like a comatose state basically 24/7, and their twin daughters had recently passed away on two separate occasions. And basically, while Loen is scouring through her office trying to find things about this author, she comes across an unpublished autobiography that Verity wrote about herself and her life. And that just opens up a whole bunch of things.
Really?
Yeah, that's where the plot twist start.
Yeah. Also, I would say, I don't know the age demographic for our listeners, but when I look on Spotify, I do see that 13 to, like, 21 is one of our biggest demographics. If you're under...
18?
Like, 16...
Like,
yeah, 18. Yeah, I was about to say 16, 17, but 18... Adult. She's the one that's actually read the book. She's the one that's actually read the book. So,
if you're up,
under
please.
18, do not go read this book. Like, even Lily, I'm 18, and Lily explained the plot of this book to me, and I was like, nope. This is trauma. This is not good.
This is scary. You know, sometimes I see adult books that I'm like, okay, kind of 16 plus. No, this is an adult book that, like, please. Like, I know that if you're under 18, this might make you be like, I want to go read Verity, because I've seen people on TikTok who are like, I was reading ACOTAR at 11, and saying stuff like that. For whatever reason. Because they think it's fun. But this, you will not have a good time. I promise. Like, you might not even have a good time if you're over 18, which is why I said to look up the trigger warnings. So, there you go.
Yeah. And it's like from page one, too.
Yeah, it's very early on. Just avoid it, please. Come back to it in a few years if you want.
But that's over 18. Go read it. Have You're in for a great time.
It's a great
You're
book.
For a great, it's a great time. Okay. Speaking of Will Smith at the Oscars, since that's the whole theme of the episode, look at me segueing.
She's good.
You know how I'm a podcaster, what can I say? You know how you said that Verity felt like you getting slapped by Will Smith?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking reading this book made me feel like that audio of keep your wife's name out of your mouth. Yeah. And that is Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
I was gonna be like, where on earth is this going?
And so the Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo kind of follows a similar vibe as Verity. Okay, you know what I'm going to say? If you just listen to Lily's description of Verity and you're under 18, go read Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. It's still technically adult, but I think you're not going to be traumatized by it. No. But it kind of has a similar vibe in the sense it's same kind of premise of struggling writer gets offered to write something for a very famous person and then finds out a lot more than they expected along the way. So Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo follows the journey of Monique, who is a up-and-coming journalist in New York, I think, and she works for, I can't remember. Here's the thing about Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, she has fictional names for everything, but it feels so real that you kind of just in my head, I just always imagined her, like Monique working at the New Yorker or something like that. So it's that vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, the story takes place when Monique gets called into a boss's office one day, and the boss tells Monique that Evelyn Hugo, a golden age of Hollywood superstar that hasn't been seen in decades or been heard from in decades, has just contacted the company to say that they want Monique to do the first interview about, like, that she's done in decades, and she will only do it if Monique agrees to do it. And so the boss is obviously very mad about this and is going, how do you know Evelyn? This is a big break thing. It's basically guaranteed success as a journalist for the rest of your life. This is the story that everybody wants. What did you do to get this? And Monique has no idea. Monique has never met Evelyn Hugo, does not know, like, only knows of Evelyn Hugo the same way that I feel we all know of Marilyn Monroe.
It's literally so said that she had never even watched any of her movies before because it was, like, different generation sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always imagined Evelyn Hugo just as being this hybrid of Marilyn Monroe and I don't know, like Grace Kelly and Audrey Hepburn, all those previous icons. And basically Monique goes to Evelyn Hugo to do this little interview for their paper or magazine or whatever. And then Evelyn Hugo drops the bombshell that, no, I actually want you to write my autobiography. And I'm only going to do it if you do it. Otherwise, nobody will ever know about the secrets of my life that, like, I'm willing to give to you. And one of the more notorious secrets being the stories behind all of Evelyn Hugo's husbands, all seven of them, because that was quite a bizarre thing for
quite a big scandal for a goal. Like the 60s and 70s and stuff. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, you didn't really have seven husbands in the 60s, but Evelyn did, and she slayed. So yeah, it's a really good story, and there's a massive plot twist. I feel like the way that this book is written, every couple chapters, you're going, oh my god, no way, that is crazy. But then the main plot twist just has your jaw dropped. And
yeah, and like, I don't mean to like steal your little thing that you're saying here, like this is your recommendation. But like, I literally remember being like, this is going to disappoint me basically. Cause I read the book so fast, just like trying to read what like the reason was for her picking Monique. And I was like, it's going to disappoint me. Cause it always does when you like read something super fast, just to figure something out, you know? I was like, oh, it's not going to be as good as I've built it up in my head. It was as good as I built. I could not have seen that coming. So just saying.
It really is a great plot twist. You don't see it coming. And considering all the hype it had, I feel most people probably feel the same as Lily did. I did, going into the novel, thinking this novel has so much hype around this ending and this plot twist. There's no way that I'm going to find it exciting. I've hyped it up too much. But yeah. No, she gets you. She gets you good. And so, for sure. Highly recommend. It's one of my favorite books I've ever read, so. Yeah.
I was going to do this. I was going to talk about this book as well, but then my like little best friend sense, like I was like, Olivia's going to talk about this, so I will not. And I was correct.
Is it concerning that when you went best friend sense, I was like, who is she talking about? Who's her best friend?
Okay. Wow.
No, it's what we've talked about this before, though. It just, we never call each other best friends, Lily and I. It feels really weird. I don't like it.
Well,
anyway. I mean, if you like it, I can get used to it, but I didn't think you did either, so that was just okay, really
well,
startling.
I don't, but like, we're on the podcast, so what am I supposed to do? I'd be like, ugh, my life.
Oh, we're doing it for sure. Right. Got it.
What would I have called you? Like, this bitch that I just famous, work with.
If we're famous, we'd so be fueling these internalized misogynistic stories that would no doubt be made about us, being like, why Lily and Olivia actually hate each other, and proof, because two women can't get along. We'd really be fueling that. Okay. Jolly good.
Okay.
Well, now you do one that I haven't done yet. You do a book I haven't done yet.
Well, no, I have like a whole list, and you haven't done any of the ones on my list, but I didn't put The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo on my list because I knew you would have it on yours.
Oh, yes, of course. The best friend sense, yes. Of course, yes.
Okay.
Oh, she was smart. Okay.
She was. Okay. So the next one I'm going to do is These Violent Delights by Chloe Gong. And I'm going to do the first one because I remember when I read the end of the first book, like I was just like, what the hell is going on right now? Like, I was just so utterly concerned when I read the end of that first book. Like, so many things happened that were so concerning, you know? Like,
in the first one?
At the end of the first one.
Yeah.
I think
chapter 20 was the one. The one page chapter was very, is an example of the chaoticness.
Yeah. And like, I just feel like, I don't know. Like, obviously this book was very good. I loved it. These Violent Delights is a duology about, it takes place in 1920s Shanghai, and it's a Romeo and Juliet retelling of two heirs to rival gangs in Shanghai who basically fell in love when they were really, really young, like young first love sort of thing. But then they kind of betrayed each other a little bit, and then they went back to being rivals, and then kind of working their way back up to being lovers again. So it's very enemies to lovers, very good Romeo and Juliet retelling. Both books are out now, which is very exciting, and there's a spin-off book coming out in October? November?
I don't know
when it's coming out. This year, it's coming out.
Also, I think we can't underestimate the enemies to lovers in it. It's like enemies to lovers, enemies to lovers, enemies to lovers. Like, it is a circle thing going on there.
Oh yeah, you definitely get the enemies to lovers here.
Like, back to enemies, back to lovers, back to enemies. Yeah.
She takes you on a roller coaster. Just to like give you a clear idea, there's literally a scene where they're making out and she's holding a gun to his head. I feel like that's just exactly how it goes. Like, that's clear enemies to lovers. Like,
yes.
But you know, Chloe Gong does a great job of writing these two, and she also did a great job of writing a good plot twist. I remember I was sitting next to a friend while I was reading this, and I couldn't say anything because she had not read it yet. I was literally screaming. Like, I was like, oh my god, oh my god, like, what the heck, like, how are we gonna recover from this? We're not gonna recover from this, we're not gonna recover from this. It's like freaking out. Like, but it was fantastic.
And then they never did. They never recovered. I was trying to be dramatic, but you agreed with me, so now it sounds like I did a spoiler, but I really didn't.
I wasn't agreeing with you, I just went, because I was like, where is she going with this? Oh. Like, is she like, yeah, I was just like, is she making a joke or is she
I love it so much how you let me have, you know, you let me have my moments.
I do.
You just never know where I'm going with it.
I never know where you're going with anything.
Me earlier. Do you know what I smell like right now?
Yeah, I literally never know what you're going with right now. Like, literally, just to give some context, Olivia sent me like a bunch of Snapchats today while she was out. Every time Olivia goes out, I get so many Snapchats. It's kind of a vibe. It's like a little vlog of her day.
It is a vlog.
And I didn't open them. I was out, so I didn't open them because I saw they were videos and I didn't know she'd be talking. So I didn't open them all till I got home, so they were all there. And literally, they went from, like, her book shopping, so she was, like, book thrifting, and then she's like, this is homophobic, because there was all these, like, unread gay books just, like, on the shelf, like, unopened, like...
They weren't even open, though! It literally... The people bought these books from the bookstore, thinking it was gonna be, like, some YA shit, and then they opened it, saw it was gay, and they donated it. Like... homophobia, if I'd ever seen it. There weren't even creases in the spine, Lily.
So we went from, like, I want to buy the Hunger Games, to this is homophobic, to I saw this leather jacket I really wanted, but it's $70. This is Australian culture. This is also Australian culture. And then she's talking about an audiobook she's listening to. She's like, they're making out now. It's just like, so I never know where she's going. Like, I never know what I'm gonna get from her, you know. I feel like Snapchat just sums it up perfectly.
They all make sense in the context, though, you know what I mean?
No, they do make sense in the context. It's just so funny because I never know what to expect when you Snapchat me.
Yeah Anyways, where were we going with this? What was I saying before? What were we talking about?
I don't know.
It's these Violent Delights.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to move on. Yeah. Hopefully we weren't in the middle of something really profound.
We'll figure it out when we edit it.
Yeah. It'll be really awkward because we'll just be in the middle of something. We'll be like talking about the plot twist and then we're just like, let's talk about Olivia's Snapchats. Okay, I'm gonna do Empire of Storms by Sarah J. Maas from the Throne of Glass series. That is a really good plot twist that I got spoiled for me, but if I didn't, it's actually a really great plot twist because how I describe it without spoiling it is it does something that you don't ever expect YA books to do. You know how in really long book series, we all know that in around an 8-book series, by around book 6 or 7, shit's going to really go to hell because it needs to build up for the big finale. And obviously the character's going to reach lows. But in YA, the low is always like, oh, my brother just died, which is sad. It's a low. But Empire Storms, this was like a different kind of low, and you just didn't really expect it to happen. I remember reading it for the first time and just being like, what the heck? How is she going to recover from this? How, this is, we have one book left, Miss Thang. This is not enough time to fix this. And then when you read the repercussions of the plot twist as well, I honestly think that's what makes the plot twist so painful, is because you have to read the consequences of it. I find those are always the best plot twists, the ones that have like serious consequences, and you're just going, oh my god, this is a lot to handle. So yeah, I can't really say much else without spoiling it, but the Empire, so Throne of Glass as a series in general, but like I'm specifically talking about the Empire Storms, I think that's the most shocking plot twist. That's the plot twist where people are like, I had tears in my eyes at that plot twist. And so you can go check it out, T.E.
Yeah, I didn't have Empire Storms spoiled for me, which is rare. I usually get books spoiled for me, unfortunately. But I did not get that one spoiled, and I think I reacted exactly how I was supposed to. It was a great plot twist. Like, I was like, oh my god.
Yeah. The Empire of Storms plot twist is arguably a thing that made Lily and I very close as well, because I remember the first time we ever FaceTimed.
It was after I finished reading Empire of Storms, because I was so shook.
Yeah, she was so emotionally damaged. She was like, Olivia, I know that you've never FaceTimed before, but can we please talk about this? And then we ended up talking for like a really long time, and that was the first time we FaceTimed.
Cute. No.
Adorable.
Now we FaceTime every day.
Best friends.
Best friends.
Besties for life. Oh god. Do your next recommendation. I'm just gonna go vomit really quick.
Okay. Well, while you're doing that, I will talk about. This just kind of reminds me of kind of like exactly how you described the Empire of Storms plot twist, is how I personally felt reading the Lord of Shadows plot twist, which I know is not what you want to hear right now, Olivia.
I knew it was coming.
That book. What?
I knew it was coming. My best friend's sense was like, the Lord of Shadows plot twist is going to be mentioned.
It's the Lord of Shadows plot twist. And you made me think of it because you're like, I had it spoiled for me. And here's the thing. I also had the Lord of Shadows plot twist spoiled for me. But I knew it was coming. But just the way she wrote it in that book, like, I still somehow felt the effects of the plot twist. Like, I was like, oh my god. it was just so much, you know? Like, and I'm trying not to say much because Olivia has like little detective skills on all the time, and she's like reading this book right now. But like, let me just
say, not all the time. It's just, I'm really good at being smart.
I finished this book like an hour before my calculus final, and I literally couldn't focus.
That was on you. Wait a minute. You read a book that you knew had a really epic.
Well, because
plot
I thought
twist.
It was good. Because like I was like, well, I know what it
is.
Oh,
okay, that
like
because
I was
actually,
like, I know what happens. But then like it just hit like I said, like just like the way she wrote it, I was like, oh my god, why would she write it like that? Like it's like I knew what the actions were, but I was like, you wrote that so brutally. Like why would you do that to me right now? Like you made me hurt. With your words.
You made me hurt.
You made me hurt with your words.
Okay.
Anyway.
Oh, also, we didn't do pots. Hold on, let me hear. Thrown a glass. Thrown it. We're going to rewind a bit. Thrown a glass follows the story of Selena Sardothian. And we set the scene when Dorian Havelyard, the prince of the magical land that we're in, because it's a high fantasy novel set in a completely different world, Dorian Havelyard shows up to the salt mines, which is basically the prison for all of, I think, is it Adelan is the continent?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Prince Dorian shows up to the salt mines, which is basically like the prison for all the worst criminals in Adelan, and you just have to mine salt, I assume. However, it's the type of salt, it's like deadly, so people don't really live longer than 3 months in the salt mines, or like with their fragile mortality. However, Selena, like, she's not like other girls off the bat, because she's been there for 6 months and she's still kicking somehow. And Dorian pretty much doesn't break Selena out, but is like, Selena, come with me, and takes her to the palace where she is entered into a competition to become the king's champion, which is basically the king's hit person, the person that does the king's dirty work. And the deal is that if Selena wins the competition, she gets to be the king's champion for 3 years. And then have freedom for the rest of her life, and also get paid kind of an annual salary. So it's a pretty good deal for her. But if she loses, she either will die in the process of competing in the trials that you have to do to get to the next round and win, because it is a process of elimination. It's last person standing kind of vibes. So she'll either die, or she'll go back to the salt mines, where inevitably she will die from her life sentence in the salt mines. So Selena, she is like Adelan's assassin. She's a badass, not like other girls. And yeah, she's got to try her best. It's actually a Cinderella retelling, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But it is one of those series where you will look back and you go, what happened to the original plot of the movie? Yeah. But in a good way. So yeah, that's Throne of Glass. What is The Dark Artificers about, Lily?
It's the way that when you're explaining the plot of Throne of Glass, I was like, what is The Dark Artificers about? Like,
would you like me to explain?
No, I can do it. It's just, okay, it's like Throne of Glass. It's like, what happened to the original plot of the movie, you know? goes in a completely different direction. Okay. The Dark Artificers, it's a part of the Shadowhunter Chronicles. We all been new. It's like my favorite Shadowhunter book. But basically it is about, our main character's name is Emma Carstairs, and she is 17, and she is living at the Los Angeles Institute because she's a good fantasy character, her parents died like 5 years before or something. And so now she is living with her bestie / pair batai, Julian, and they're basically teen mom and dad because they are helping raise his, like, how many siblings? I don't know. A lot of siblings, because he is now...
Too many,
because both of his older siblings are, like, gone, because, like, one of them was exiled for, like, being fae. And then the other one was, like, sent to live in the Fae realms because, like, the Shadowhunters hate Fae. So, there's a bit of discrimination happening here. So, he is left to take care of his siblings. So, they're, like, kind of, like, living their lives, taking care of their siblings together. And then, but plot twist, they're actually in love with each other, which is a problem because pair batai cannot be in love. And what is even the plot of this? Like, I just know the characters. Like, basically, they're trying to fight all of the, like, discrimination that the Clave has, like, which is, like, their government has, like, against, like, the Fae. Because, you know, like, so many of their family are, like, half Fae, like, people. And so, basically, they're trying to revoke, like, the Cold Peace, which is, like, a law put in place that, like, has all this discrimination to the Fae. And I don't know, is there anything else? Like, what else happens in this?
No, I think for the, well, a lot happens, but like for first book, that's all you really need to know. It's kind of just a story about family, which is really wholesome.
Aww.
Especially because Cassandra's an only child, so is she an only child? She gives me only child vibe.
She is an only child because I remember
romanticizing her family fantasy, I think, which is wholesome.
Yeah, very cute. It's a very cute little book, but the plot's good too.
No,
I just can't give much away without
the plot is spoiling. Good. Yeah, the plot is really good. As someone currently reading it, it is pretty good, pretty solid. Oh my god. Oh, I can't be yawning. I'm not yawning because it was boring. I'm yawning because I'm tired. Okay, so I'm going to move on to the... I can't believe you haven't said this book yet. I'm appalled. But this is kind of a book where whenever you bring up this series, people will go, oh my god, we need to talk about the plot twist in it. Like, craziest plot twist. That is Red Queen by Victoria Aveyard. Yeah. Every single book kind of has its plot twists. However, the first one is definitely the one that you least expect. You don't expect any of them. But the first one, since it's book one and you don't really know what you're getting into, you really don't expect it when you are reading it. And it is just crazy towns. And for all the time that it was written as well, I think it was written in that classic 2012 dystopia era. Yeah, there wasn't really a book that had done anything like this before, like a New York Times best-selling dystopian book that had done anything like this before, I feel. But anyway, the plot of the book, we've talked about it so much on this podcast before. But the plot of it is pretty much in a world divided by blood, red bloods and silver bloods. Silver bloods have basically superpowers or abilities. Mayor Barry finds herself in a difficult situation when, as a red blood, she discovers that she has the ability to control, to manipulate and lightning, which is an ability that not even silver bloods have. So she basically is just this red blood that has these superpowers, and she involuntarily becomes a massive threat to the monarchy and the way that this dystopian world is ruled and functions, because basically the silver bloods are going, oh no, who will we discriminate now? Like, this is really bad. And so Mare, who grew up as a red blood and heavily discriminated against, she kind of finds herself being like, this is nice. And yeah, she also ends up being forced into a marriage with one of the two incredibly attractive silver blood royals. And that is a whole thing too.
Good for her.
So it's, yeah, good for her. The vibes of book one are so good. Like, the vibes of all of them are cool, but the vibes of book one are especially cool because they're like vibing in the palace. Like, oh my god, forced to marry a prince. Like, that is so sad. I also have these superpowers and I'm like so different to everyone. And oh my god, these hoes mad because I'm like pretty as well as superpower. Anyway.
Yeah.
Am I missing something? There's so much silence right now.
No. I think I just wasn't sure if you, because it kind of sounded like you were going to say something else, so I didn't want to interrupt. No. I think you're, I think that's good. It's a very good book, and I remember reading that plot twist, and I was just absolutely blown away.
Yeah. She read it on a TikTok live, the plot twist.
I did, yeah.
We're just going down memory lane today, aren't we?
Memory lane, yeah.
Memory
lane. I'm trying to think of my... Well, I have a few, but I'm deciding what I want to talk about particularly because we're starting to run out of time. I think I want to talk... I think I want to talk Dark Rise. I liked that plot twist a lot.
Oh my god, I'm sorry. I don't think you've ever really you've recommended it, but we haven't talked about it, the content inside of it.
I would love to make a podcast episode about Dark Rise, because it's a new fantasy book. We have to wait for Olivia to read it. but I very much enjoyed it. I feel like what the plot twist about this book was, like, this plot twist, obviously I can't say it, but it really came about in such an interesting way. And I don't know, I really appreciated what this author had done, because I was like, this is an idea that is just, it's so underused, you know, because it's always, well, I wouldn't say it's always good, because I feel like if this was done poorly, it would be really, really bad, but, like, it just doesn't happen often enough in books for me to, like, have examples of when it was done bad and when it was done good, so I just, like, usually always like it, you know, because it's so new and it's so fresh and I love it. and so this was definitely something I was not really expecting, but it was just, like, it's so hard, because I don't want to spoil it, so I just can't say anything, but the plot twist is really good, and it happens right at the end as well, like, it happens, like, last few pages, and then you're just left there, and you're like, what the hell, like.
Something that's really interesting. Oh, sorry, you keep going. No,
you keep going. I was done. Well, for now.
I was just going to say something really interesting about this book. I'm on the Goodreads reviews for it right now, not getting anything spoiled, but, like, usually when people rate a book 4.5, they go, like, 4 stars. You know what I mean? They go, like, they round it down. But with this book, everybody's rounding it up. And I'm like, that's such an interesting thing. And then also I'm seeing a lot about, there seems to be a trend with Lily's book recs, because I'm also seeing here people going, me for pages 1 to 400. Oh, this is a good book. Pages 400 to 464. Oh my God, what the heck? What on earth?
Yeah, the ending was, like, it definitely changed a lot of things for me. I don't know, some people didn't like it, but I mean, you can say that about, like, I feel like first books are hard when the rest of them aren't out, because so much has to be, like, world building and stuff, and the world building of this book just definitely, like, it was really well done, but there was definitely a lot of it, and so it was definitely hard. But other, like, the ending was just incredible, and I would say it definitely delivered. But basically it takes place in the 1800s, I believe, in London, and basically there is no more magic allowed. Like, you know, magic is kind of the thing of the past. There is this group of people called the Stewards, and they remember everything that there was to remember about magic. And basically what their job is to train, and they swear to protect humanity if the Dark King ever returns. And that was basically their job. But, like, no one else is really aware of the Dark King, because, like, they don't really talk about magic anymore, because, you know, the Dark King was, like, vanquished and stuff, and they don't need to worry about it. But, of course, in this time period, magic is really starting to make a comeback. And Will is on, the main character, he's on the run, and he basically ends up being taken in by these Stewards because he's being chased by the men who killed his mother. And basically, he ends up becoming one of them a little bit. And you have that classic, like, training the main character into the secret little society, the secret little magic society, you know? And basically, the whole, like, the descendants of these magical lines, like the light magic and the dark magic, are really coming back into contact again, because they're trying to defeat the Dark King, and they know that their world can never be at peace until he's gone. So it's a whole thing. It's very classic fantasy vibes, and it's just fantastic.
Yeah, the author also seems like such an icon too. She's an Australian author, born in Australia, and, like, went to Melbourne University, which is pretty cool. But she became popular, I'm reading, like, her little Goodreads here. And basically, she wrote a gay web serial called Captive Prince that got, like, lots of viral attention.
Why have I heard of that?
Yeah. And anyway, she's basically said, like, I wrote Captive Prince and posted online. It gained viral attention. And after I'd written the first two volumes in that format, I tried to publish commercially and was rejected just about everywhere. Agents, publishers, you name it. But because I had so many requests for a paperback from online readers, I eventually self-published and the book shot up the charts, and then Penguin Teen picked it up, where the series went on to become a USA Today bestseller. So I was like, queen, go you. Yeah. People definitely seem like her fandom definitely seem very gay, which I love. That is so fun.
Yeah, the gay in Dark Rise is fantastic. So just,
yeah, she's very good at writing gay, it seems. Or they, I don't know their pronouns.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sorry,
I don't know either.
I'm assuming. Yeah. But yeah, I am excited to read it. I don't know. Let me be. Let me live. So
yeah, you definitely should at some point.
But I know I definitely should. Should I do a last one, or do you have one that you really want to say?
You can do a last one if you have a good one.
The way you said that, like, kind of made me feel like some of the ones I said weren't good. You're like, if you have a good one. If you have a good one.
No, I kind of just meant like, oh, if you have a really one that you really want to say, then go ahead and say it. Like, it's kind of...
the list I made, I have one left, so I think it could be satisfying.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Legend Born by Tracy Dion. We've talked about this very recently, but I feel like it should go in this category. Here's the thing. It's different because the plot twist, you see it coming, but still when it happens, you're like, oh my god, period, love it.
Yes.
And yeah, you're like, good for you. You know, I feel like the other plot twists after they happened, we were like Zendaya and Andrew Garfield at the Oscars after Will Smith slapped Chris Rock, and we're just straight on our phones, like being like, we are choosing not to see that. We do not claim this energy. But with the Legend Born plot twist, you're like, oh my god, eating it up, love it, live it, breathe it. And basically, Legend Born is a King Arthur retelling that follows the journey of Bree about 1 year after her mother dies suddenly, because I think of a car crash or something like that. So they say. Doink, doink. And anyways, Bree, she toddles off to college, still grieving the loss of her mom, and basically comes across a magical society at her college, just casually, that, like, hunt demons and stuff. And then, yeah, basically she realizes that, oh my god, I, like, have similar abilities to other people in this society. Like, I belong in this society, but why did I never know I have, like, magical powers and magical abilities and stuff like that? And so Bree very quickly learns that she actually inherits this from her mum, and in a journey to discover more about herself and also learn more about her mother's secret past that apparently is now a thing, she joins the society and tries to solve the mystery that is the death of her mother, because Bree also never really bought, she always felt like there was more to her mother's death. So it's a vibe, great love triangle, great characters, great diversity, and it's book one out of a ongoing duology. The second one's coming out later in the year. I am so excited. You have no idea. Yeah, we're very excited. Okay. Was that a good finale? Did that finish off nicely? Okay. Well, in that case, thank you all so much for joining us today. We wanted to do, some more book rec podcasts so you all could enjoy. They're spoiler-free. We hope you appreciated them. We know that if you've been with us for a while, we didn't really bring much new, fresh content, but you guys kind of got a trip down memory lane. Like we did today a bit. Hope you got the vibes, and if not, we hope you check out some of these books because they're pretty good. So without further ado, we will talk to you all next week. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.